Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Better, but we're going to have to work on it. It's Father's Day, and as we all know, this is a day that's good, bad, or indifferent for so many people. And so we talk about Father's Day. I'm a part of the Dad Club, and many of you, if you're a part of the Dad Club, would you raise your hand? Very good, very good. So, man, it's going to be a hard day, isn't it? It's going to be a rough day. We're going to pray for dads here in a little while and talk about that a little bit. It's a high calling, and today's teaching is not necessarily about dads, but it can be inclusive of dads and anybody else. And so when we think about that and we move on from just thinking about dads, but we do think about who we are in Christ as dads. We all had one, and that wasn't always good. It wasn't always easy. Not every dad is a good dad, and that's just the reality of it. And so I know that. I understand that. Growing up at a young age, my dad was not a good dad. He was an alcoholic, had a lot of trouble. My parents divorced over that very issue. Now, he straightened up later in life, and he kind of got it all together. I shouldn't even say straightened up. That sounds very condescending, doesn't it? He got it together where he could manage without the alcohol later in life. And so we really did spend the last 30 years of his life in a great relationship. And so, but just from you to know, from my perspective, I understand when somebody says, well, I didn't have a good childhood because of my dad, or whatever it might be. And so for that very purpose, though, that redemption story can happen to all of us. And even if it's not an addiction, even if it's not alcoholism or whatever it is, we all have issues. I mentioned it in prayer, is sometimes we see those issues, they're outward, but sometimes we don't. It wasn't my dad. I'm not gonna make excuses for him, but I'm pretty sure he didn't grow up saying, man, I can't wait to be an abusive alcoholic, right? Nobody ever said that. He never said, I can't wait to do all these things and to have a family and then cause a divorce. He never said that. And so what is it inside of him and me and you and all of us that gets us to those places in life? Because when we discover those things, he turned out in the end to be a good dad. He turned out in the end to be a great granddad, a good father-in-law, a great husband in the end in a second marriage. But what happened leading up to that point? What got him to the point of restoration and redemption? And what does it take for the rest of us? Because regardless of what you think about yourself right now, I want you to recognize sometimes we misdiagnose what's going on in our life because we see what's going on the outside. So we just automatically assume we know what's causing it. Macy was throwing up one time. She's going to be so glad I'm going to tell this story. It's quick. We've all been there. She was throwing up, took her to the doctor. I thought she had a stomach bug, and the doctor said, she has strep. I said, how in the world does strep throat cause nausea? Sometimes it just does, and sometimes strep throat presents itself like a stomach bug. Totally misdiagnosed her. I would have never looked. I didn't say, let me check your throat. I'm like, let's figure out why you're throwing up. For all of us, we misdiagnose what's going on in our lives. Not all the time, but sometimes. We often, for sure, misdiagnose our spiritual issues. Whatever the deep-seated spiritual problems are in our life, the heart issues that we have, how we approach people and how we address things, how we react. It's all based on what's inside of us that has become a part of us. And in Luke, in Luke chapter 8, we've talked about this man before. He's called the Gerasene demoniac because it was in the regions of the Gerasene region. He was demon-possessed. He lived naked among the tombs of dead people. And he just screamed all through the night and day, Scripture tells us. He was so strong that chains and shackles couldn't hold him because of his mental illness. And that sounds really really sensational, but I can tell you, every time I read this, and even going back to it this time, I remember when I was in law enforcement, we encountered a man over on 13th Street in the Overton area. Kid you not, I won't tell you the whole story, but he was a nice enough guy, but he was mentally ill, okay? I mean, he just had so many issues. And when we would try to talk to him and get him to comply, he got really violent. And one day in that encounter, most of you are not going to believe this story, but it is so true. To prove to us, to kind of show us his manliness, to show us that we shouldn't mess with him, he literally doubled up his fist standing next to a street light, and he hauls off and he punches the street light so hard, the street light went out. Now you're like, okay, that was pure coincidence. It may have been, I don't know, but it was impressive enough to me. I went, okay, I'm going to call for backup. I can't deal with that on my own, right? But these issues, what I could see on the outside was, well, he was a little off. A really nice man. But when I saw that, and he kind of looked like I did, I mean, he didn't look like Popeye the Sailor Man, right? I mean, he didn't look like a guy that could punch out a streetlight. But when he did, I went, oh, there's a lot more going on here than I can see. In our spiritual life, it's the same. For the man that was the demoniac, they just saw that he was living naked, okay? That's the first clue, amen? Secondly, he was living in a cemetery. That should be your second clue, amen? And then thirdly, just all the things, screaming and yelling and couldn't be around anybody, and people were trying to shackle him and tie him down, and he was breaking free. All these clues, and nobody knew how to deal with that. How many people do you have in your life or that you've known in your life that had issues you just didn't know how to deal with? You really wanted to, but you didn't know how to approach them. I want to talk to you about a woman also that is in Scripture. Jesus identified this woman the same way he identified this man. When he encountered the man, he pretty much said, he goes, who are you? You know, who is that inside of this man? And he said the same to this woman in different ways. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you out of Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. It says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years, listen to that, 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made upright again and began glorifying God. See, what is it about what's going on that's unseen in her life? Jesus recognized it immediately. He even said, we're going to talk about, he even said that she had a spirit of infirmity. Okay, what does that mean? Because what they saw was somebody that was had a spinal condition, somebody that was bent over, and where for 18 years, let me just tell you, I'm not a doctor, but I know if you've been dealing with something for 18 years, it has become a part of you. And if you have a medical condition for 18 years, your body has changed. Your body, not only was she bent over, I'm just assuming that after 18 years that her bones would start forming and fusing that way. Again, speculation on my part, but Luke, who's writing this, the doctor in the Greek, really says that she had a spinal condition. Not that she started out that way, but for the last 18 years she'd been dealing with it. And what did that mean? Because it wasn't what was seen that was the problem because of what Jesus is telling us. It was what was unseen. So for your own life right now, what is seen in your life that is being caused by what is unseen? What are the, and I don't want to call them illnesses or sicknesses or issues or problems or conflicts or whatever. You're going to have to decide that for yourself because you may have that. Okay, as how many, you don't have to answer this because I already know the answer, but the unseen part of dads is none of us were ever equipped to become dads from the beginning. Just say amen. Yeah, okay, moms of the dads, say amen. Yeah, I mean, we just weren't. When Robin and I got married, I didn't suddenly have a certificate that said you're qualified to be a good husband. When Macy came along, I didn't have a certificate that said you're qualified to be a good dad. None of that ever happened. And so what we bring along to that is what we brought along in the very beginning. Whatever we had learned, whatever we had been through, all the circumstances of our life. I know that most of us probably ran out and bought a book on how to be a good parent. How to raise a child, or for lack of a better word, how to keep them alive and not kill them in the first 6 weeks, right? I mean, it was a little bit of a panic for all of us. But it really was what was already in us that still causes us to be who we are today. Now, we can change that and we can modify that over time if we're willing and if we can see the unseen inside of us. But if we can't and we don't recognize that, then we will never change. Because as I said last week, you can't change what you don't know to change. You can't change what you can't see to change. How many of you have that in your life? How many of you even know of yourself right now that you have something that needs to be changed? That you can't do, that only Jesus can do. How many of you have dynamics in your family that need to be changed, but you don't know how to change them because you can't, only Jesus can. How many of you know right now that there's an elephant living in your living room, right, that nobody wants to talk about? I have them in our family, by the way. I'm not throwing rocks, and if they're watching right now, you know we have elephants in our living room. We just do. All of us do. Are you willing to address them in a loving and graceful way in the way Jesus did all of these people? Because that's where it comes in. Jesus' own diagnosis informs us that this woman had something inside of her that was causing her to be bent over, causing her spine to be pushed down, causing her to be burdened. He called it a spirit of infirmity. And in the study of this passage of Scripture, let me just tell you, if she wasn't demon-possessed, which I don't think that she was, and Scripture doesn't give us that, but by the way Jesus speaks, she was certainly demon-influenced. And what does that mean? If you're not demon-possessed, what does it mean by the very least that she was demon-influenced? Well, let me just say this. Maybe she wasn't dating Satan, but she was taking Satan to coffee every once in a while, if you know what I mean. Right? She wasn't married to a demon, but she certainly entertained demons on occasion. She would flirt with the things she shouldn't be flirting with. She would dabble in the things she wouldn't be dabbling in. She may not have ever invited Satan into her life, but here's what I would say about us and about her, is she never told him to get out either. Boy, that hurts, doesn't it? That kind of scares us a little bit. Well, I know, but I didn't invite that issue into my life, but it is kind of fun and entertaining. So I'm not saying it can be here, but I'm not telling it to leave either. Right? You can go on with that in your own mind as long as you want to. Maybe in her own life, I don't know what the issue was. Let's just start talking about what our issues might be. I don't know that she was a terrible person, but maybe she wasn't an upright person. I don't know that she wasn't judgmental, but maybe she was a gossip more than she should have been. I don't know that she wasn't a control freak, except for maybe the areas where she thought she was right, and she was never wrong. Amen. Oh, some of y'all chuckled on that. Don't be pointing fingers now. Okay, these are just the things we deal with. Okay, I don't know that she tried to manipulate and control her families or her job or her neighbors. But maybe she had that level of influence that people just like to please her. See, let's just talk about whatever our issues are. Let's just talk about whatever you might be going through. And for 18 years, okay, let's just be real. I mean, maybe for a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I mean, maybe when she got this way, she thought, oh, well, you know, maybe I ought to deal with this. Maybe when she got this way, maybe I ought to deal with this. You think by the time she's this way and she's using a cane or whatever she has to because she can't bend back. I mean, when in the world would you decide in the midst of all of that that you would finally stop and say enough is enough? Right? I don't know, because I know me, and oftentimes it's way too late when I say enough is enough, and it's already too late, and I'm already into it. I'm already past miserable, right? And I don't know how to, I want to go back, but it's seemingly that I can't even go back. I can't fix or I can't repair. Isn't that the way we live our lives, though, is I'm looking like this, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, if I'm putting the mirror on the ground, right? Because I'm looking at myself and I'm going, how did I get this way? And what in the world can I do to fix this? But I'm not looking on the inside. I'm not looking at what I'm doing in life. I'm not looking at the influences I have. I'm not looking at all the things that are pouring into me. I'm just looking at myself and I'm going, my gosh, I just saw Top Gun. And after 30 years, why does Tom Cruise still look that good? And I look like this. Not fair. He's got more plastic than a Tupperware bowl inside of him, I know, but that's all right. That hair is not his, women. I'm just telling you. But am I willing to do, besides the plastic, I'm not judging, I don't know what he's done or not done, but I know that guy works out and eats better than I do. Amen. Yeah, I mean, and part of that's just genetics, but still, I'm looking at him and going, am I willing to do whatever it takes to look like that? And my answer is probably not, right? But how about this? How about, are we willing, we all want to live longer to be with our families, but are we willing to give up the lifestyles that are killing us? These are just physical examples. I really want to be like a couple of really giant biblical saints that I know right now that are alive and well in my life, but am I willing to make the sacrifices to do what they have done all of their life to be where they are today with Christ? And the answer is, I'm probably not. And so for this person, it's the same. What's going on? What's going on inside of her? What's going on inside of us? Because whatever the spirit of infirmity was in her life, Scripture tells us there can be lots of those. The Psalms is full of them. I'll just give you a couple. Psalm 38, we have sorrow. Psalm 42, we have suffering. Psalm 44, we talked about being a prisoner, captive by our sins. We have all of these things. Those are just three, right? Sin, suffering, and sorrow. I mean, oh my gosh, there's so much more. Anybody got regret? Anybody got bitterness? Anybody got hurt? Anybody got heartache? I mean, it just goes on and on, right? And some of those are self-inflicted, by the way. What is it that we need to do? I have no doubt in my mind that this woman wanted to be healed of what was going on outside, but did she really, to the point that she wanted to be healed on the inside? And that's where the difference has to be made for all of us. No matter if it's Father's Day or any other day, what do we need to do to be who God's called us to be in the role that we are placed in life? That's where we have to be. But listen to me, maybe, just maybe, it's the brokenness inside of us that's causing the burden on our lives. Maybe it's the brokenness of our heart. Maybe it's the brokenness of whatever's gone on in our life. Maybe it's the unforgiveness that not only do we have for somebody else, but that somebody has for us. Maybe we're burdened down with that. It's not about a physical illness, right? It's about a spiritual illness. And I just really want you to understand, and it's hard, it's even hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to comprehend how if I'm not right with God in my relationship with God, because I know where I should be, maybe that's influencing my physical life. Maybe that's influencing my ability to be a good dad. Maybe that's influencing my ability to be the husband God's called me to be. Maybe that's why I'm stressed out and sick. Maybe that's why I'm depressed. Maybe that's why I have mental illness. Maybe that's why I'm not healthy. Maybe that's, it just goes on and on and on. Maybe, just maybe, because Jesus points it out. He points it out. She has a spirit of infirmity. Everybody goes, no, she's got a spine problem. Spine problems because of her spiritual problem. What is it for us? Our attitudes, the way we treat people, just all the different things. What is it? Many of you just thought to yourself, though, I'm good with God. I don't have any spiritual problems. I'm saved. I'm a born-again Christian. I know I'm going to heaven, and I talk to Jesus every day. I mean, we're good. I mean, we're tight. Have you ever asked him? Have you ever listened to him? You're right. Some of you, I know I do. I mean, I talk to Jesus all the time. I don't always listen to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Have I ever asked Jesus, okay, I think we're good. You know, this is the friend that you've talked to, you know, you're talking to a friend of a friend. Hey, have you seen so-and-so lately? No, I haven't seen him in forever, but I think we're okay. We just don't really talk that much anymore. Then you talk to the other friend, you go, God, that person's a jerk. You have no idea what they said or what they did to me, and they don't even know, and they won't even apologize. Maybe that's us and Jesus, right? Y'all are a quiet crowd today. It's pretty convicting, I know. I'm just here to encourage you on Father's Day. Right? I mean, this is how we live our lives, even spiritually. Do we really ask, Jesus, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to be with you in paradise. I know that I'm a born-again Christian. I know that I'm forgiven, but is there something else you need me to do? Is there some other place in my life? Is there some place I need to give to you? Is there some place where I'm being held captive, where I need freedom? Because that's the questions we needed to be asked. That's the questions we need to be asking. Because this woman, guess what? She never asked Jesus to do anything for her. That's where I want to get to the good news today. That's where I want to get to the energizing part of the day, is you all came for a specific reason today, but maybe not for the reason Jesus wanted you to come today. She didn't know, probably, that Jesus was in the synagogue, because it just says Jesus was preaching in one of the synagogues. He didn't have an appointment. He didn't have a schedule. It wasn't published. Nobody knew if he was even in town, really, or where he was going to be, or if he was ever going to show up. She was just going. She was just going to be the loyal follower of God that she was. She was just going to give worship to God. She was just going to get the blessing of being a part of a fellowship of believers and giving her all in all to the Lord, no matter what was going to happen. She'd been bent over for 18 years. Why would today be any different? Amen? Why would today be any different than yesterday or tomorrow? This is not going away, but I am still going to put my place to be receptive to what the Lord has for me. And that's what she did. Number one, she was in a place to hear Jesus, right? Just think about it. She showed up to church, okay? She showed up to church. She showed up to small group. She showed up for a prayer group. Whatever you want to say, she showed up. And then she listened to Jesus, okay? She showed up, and then she listened. And then the third thing, for both. Okay, let's go back to last week. Forget the guy that was living in the tombs. Here's the guy that came to church last week in Scripture, and he had the withered hand, remember? And he was trying to hide that thing. He didn't want anybody to see. He kind of snuck in late. He left early. And he didn't come asking for a miracle. She did not come asking for a miracle. But Jesus identified both of them on his own. And what did he tell both of them to do? He told them to stand up. Why? To recognize their issues, to show their issues, not to be shamed. They were already shamed enough, right? But to show the world who they were and what he was going to do for them. See, so many times we ask for prayer and prayers are answered and everything turns out wonderful and it's the perfect storybook ending, but we don't tell anybody. So they don't know that Jesus is alive. They don't know that Jesus is still working. Dallas and I, we spend a lot of time together. Well, the last couple of weeks we haven't. Wherever he is back there, there he is, just because of the way things have been. And he even said the other day, he goes, like I haven't seen you in a month of Sundays. You know, I mean, things have been happening. But about a month ago, we were in our Sunday night small group, and he was talking about how bad his hand hurt. Dallas has said before, he's got arthritis and some terrible things that go on with that, and a new pain had started in his hand, and we're in a Bible study right now called Supernatural, so guess what we ought to do? We ought to pray supernaturally. It sounds like it's common sense, doesn't it? So we gathered around Dallas, and we prayed for him, and I did like I always do. We prayed, and I went on about my merry life. That's Dallas's problem, right? And then I didn't even ask, didn't even think about it really. He didn't say anything, and so I didn't think about it. Obviously, the prayer wasn't answered because he didn't say anything and whatever. And then we were in our small group this last Wednesday night, about a month later, maybe 3 weeks. And he said, hey, oh, by the way, everybody, he said, when y'all prayed for me, he goes, I still have the little issue in my hand. He goes, but the pain went away. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen to the Lord and give thanks for that? Yeah, that's, yeah. So the point is, though, is if we don't communicate that, right, if we're not in a place where we reveal our problems and we reveal our issues, how can anybody help? How can anybody pray? How can you do have to be vulnerable, and we are the body of Christ, and I want to say this, you don't cast everything before the whole body, but you do find somebody, not the whole body, but somebody to pray with and to pray for you and to be in a covenant relationship with so you can share those things, okay? If you're having an affair in your marriage, right now is not the time to stand up and tell everybody. Do you get what I'm saying? It is the time to come talk to me, just me, okay? If you need prayer for something, you know, that's not going to be devastating to the world and your family and all the different things, then yes, you just throw that out there. But they stood and they revealed their issues. Okay, everybody in town knew the guy had a withered hand. Okay, everybody in the room knew the woman had a problem. Okay, why in the world would he say, "Stand up"? So his glory would be revealed through them, through you, through me, through the healing and the restoration, and to show his power, and they couldn't do it by themselves. Here's the Father's Day message. If you're a dad, you can't do it by yourself. You just can't. There's no way. You need the Lord. If you're married, you can't do it by yourself. If you're breathing, you cannot do it by yourself. You just can't. You can't be a good friend. You can't be a good human being. You can't be anything. You need the Lord Jesus in your life. And so I want to close with these ideas right here. She was devoted. She knew, right? She knew who God was. But was she expecting anything? Are you expecting anything? Are you expecting for what God wants to do in your life? Are you expecting, or just, are you just thinking that you're just coming and you're just going to keep going through the motions? No, expect a miracle. And it may take a while. It may take days, weeks, months, years, but she kept coming. 18 years she was continuing to be in worship. But here's what I want to ask. If you don't ever come with a desire or a hunger, you're going to go away always without being filled. How many of you go to lunch with somebody and you're just not really hungry, so you really just don't eat, right? Because you're not hungry. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you go away, you got nothing new. If you come to worship, if you come to reading scripture, if you come to prayer not hungry or having a desire to hear the Lord, I'm not saying you will never. I'm just saying probably you will not hear from the Lord. If you're not listening, if you're not tuned to him, right now, you could, I can't see half of you, I can see some of you, but I mean, if you're not listening actively, you're not getting it. You can be in another world. Some of you can be on the golf course already right now and not hearing me. Some of you could already be taking a nap. One or two of you already are. I can see you. right? Receptive. They were in a place. But if you come hungry, if you come with a desire, you are going to receive what the Lord has, and probably more, because you don't know what the Lord has for you. I'm just always open to say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want whatever you have for me. I want you in my life. God will manifest himself in you and through you and for you in ways you can never anticipate. It's so fantastic. Okay? So fantastic. Jesus, let me just say this also. Sometimes we need to be together to do that. For all of you that are watching online right now, I'm so glad. But every once in a while, you need to be a part of the body of Christ. Because you know what else Jesus did? He told her to come forward. He could have just spoken to her, and he did. He said, he didn't call her by her name. He said, woman, he goes, you are free. You are free. And she was still bent over. She was still burdened down until he touched her. We need touch. This is easy for me because I'm a touchy-feely guy. I pray holding hands. I like to hug, and I like to do all those kinds of things. I mean, you've heard me say it about our family. We're the butt-pattingest family on the face of the planet. Some of you will get that later. How are you doing? You having a good day? Love you. Move it! No, I'm just kidding. We hug and we touch. For a lot of people, they don't like that. But for this woman, she needed it. Not just a prayer, but she needed Jesus to touch her, to transfer his power through a physical way to her, to release her. And it could have been just for her, but it could have been also that she was in such a state that he needed to break the chains that Satan had put in her life that she allowed to happen. So let me close with this. When Jesus touches us, he really wants us to come near to him. That's why he called them forward. He called the man forward. He called the woman forward. I just want to give you the opportunity in your life to come forward. Not just right now, but always and everywhere for Jesus. Mark 5:15, it says, and they came, and Jesus saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind. See, when they finally showed up, let me get to it right there. He was naked, he was screaming and yelling, he was out of his mind, and then when Jesus encountered him, as soon as he did, I don't know if they brought him clothes, I don't know if he was supernaturally clothed, it doesn't really matter, I'm assuming they brought him clothes, and when the people saw him, here's a guy that was immediately changed. What they saw was a new change on the outside. What Jesus knew was there a change on the inside. When you change on the outside, people are going to say, what have you done? What did you change? What is new in your life? And you need to do like the woman who left giving glory to God. You need to say, I had a great encounter at church. I had a great encounter with Christ. I had people praying for me, and the Lord answered my prayer. And well, is everything exactly right? Is everything good? Maybe not, but it's better. And yes, maybe it is perfect. Maybe everything is good. Maybe you will be exactly upright and everything will be great. But always give God glory where glory is due. And what Jesus says, though, is this for today, okay? This is what you need to hear for today. Moms, dads, kids, all of us. Jesus says himself, come to me. Oh, here? He told the man, come over here. He told the woman, come over here. He turned told the demon-possessed man, come here, right? And he says, come to him. Not I'm going to come to you, come to me. You have to be willing. You have to put yourself in that place. Come to me. And he says what? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Boy, she's the perfect example of that. And what's your example today? What's going on in your life where you're heavy laden, where you're weary, where you're tired? And he said, and I will give you rest. Right? Right after that, he says that, he says, take my yoke upon you. Right? He says, take my burden upon you. Now wait, he says he wants you to rest. Why in the world is he telling me to take his burden upon him, on me? Why would I take that yoke? Why would I put his yoke on me? You know, that's what you put on a horse or an ox to pull a cart, Why in the world would I put that on? That sounds like work. He's saying rest, but now he's saying I might need to do some work. Let me tell you something. You know what the work of God is? You know what the work of God is? It says John 6:29. This is the work of God. Literally. I love this. So good. John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, who he has sent. The work of God is to believe. The woman who was bent over believed. She was in there. She was available. She was ready. She was in a spot to listen. And she believed. She was doing the work. And Jesus recognized her. All you got to do is believe. That's the work of God. That's the yoke, is just to believe. I'm wondering where you are today and what's unseen in your life. Are you believing? Are you accepting? Are you in a place? Are you listening? Are you showing somebody else your issues, your problems, your conflict? Are you showing somebody else where your hurt and your heartache is? Not to brag about it. You know these people, by the way. It's not to brag about what you've been through. It's to say, here's where I'm broken. Here's where I'm hurt. Here's where I need help. Here's where I'm not a good husband. Here's where I'm not a good dad. Here's where I need help at my job. Here's where I need help with finances. Here's where I need help with my faith. Are you putting it out there? Are you ready to put it out there? Because if you're here, I mean this. If you're here, that's almost telling God, I'm ready. All he's going to say to you is stand up. Is to stand up, is to show yourself to him. And that really does mean, when there's an altar call, I believe with all my heart, it's not to shame people. Jesus, surely you know, Jesus never called anybody forward to shame them. And I'm not doing it because I'm asked for an altar call today. We may not, I don't know. But it's not to shame anybody. It's not to say, oh, look, here comes Matt Wolfington. Boy, he must have some really good gosh, whatever. You know, it's not, oh, look, there's a husband and wife. They must have marital problems. Oh, look, it's a husband and wife and their children. Gosh, you know, those kids are driving them insane. No, that's just yours and your family. Right? No, don't do that. We allow people to be in the space that God has created for them and let God do the work in them. And then we all give glory to God. That's where we should be. That's the unseen also, not just the unseen issues, but oh, praise God, the unseen grace. Praise God, the unseen mercy. Praise God, the unseen salvation, the unseen everything, the unseen freedom, the chains that are being broke apart inside of our lives. That's what God wants to do. That's where God wants to be, in your life, in my life, in every life in the world. So we are going to pray, and I want you to just ask God, maybe, Lord, what is unseen in me that I need you to deal with? That we need to work on this together. Because it is a give and take, remember? You got to stand up. Not physically today. If you want to, hallelujah, I'll pray for you. If you want to come forward, I'll pray for you. What is it? Because can you imagine? Maybe you can, actually. 18 years. 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is, boy, it's got you down. God wants you to stand up. Lord, I do pray. I pray for me. Lord, I include myself in this prayer. Lord, and there are you. I want you to convince every person that can hear me today, Lord, that there is no unseen that is too small. Come on now, there is nothing that you do not want us to reveal to you. There are some great, horrible, devastating issues in people's lives right now. And there are some things that are not so. But still yet, they hold us captive. They hurt, maybe physically hurt. Lord, restore us, show us. We can't restore ourselves. The woman that was bent over, She was working on her relationship with you. The man who had the withered hand, he was working on his relationship with you. They were in worship. They were in community. They were in fellowship. You brought the restoration. Lord, let us work on our relationships with you and with those around us. Lord, let us take the grace and freedom that you give us that no one can see. And oh God, please, Lord Jesus, let us make it seen to those around us by offering the same, the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness, by offering a healing touch, a hug, a prayer, laying on of hands in a very physical way to bring the manifestation of your restoration into all of our lives. I want it. I need it. And I believe that there will be a great breakthrough of revival among us when we all get to that place. Lord, and we all are open to what you have in store for us. Lord, let us be who you've called us to be. Let us be the fathers you've called us to be, the dads you've called us to be. Let us be the sons and daughters of the one true living God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. All in the name of Christ. And if you agree with that, if you're ready to stand in agreement with Christ Jesus who is calling upon you, then let's just together, if you say amen, you're ready. You're ready. And if you are ready, we say amen, amen, and amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.